This is Dave Gloatz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Today we're talking about Ben's column titled Clout on the Calumet River, which appeared in the Reader on October 29th, 2009. This article talks about a proposed tax increment financing district that would encompass a swatch of the far south side, right on the city border with Burnham, if I'm not mistaken, south of Lake Calumet. And talks about the connections of some of the people who may benefit from the tax increment financing and a marina owner who may lose out as a result of the TIF district. First of all, I think a lot of our listeners probably are not familiar with the area south of Lake Calumet. Perhaps a little, maybe not civics lesson, but a maybe geography, sociology. You know, what is it with that area? What's going on down there? We have Lake Calumet. I have a little map here that our listeners can look at online at mrradio.org. It's 134th Street is the southern border, or 138th, something like that, is the southern border of Chicago. Just above it is Lake Calumet. To the east is Wolf Lake and the Indiana border. And there's a neighborhood right down in the southeast corner of Chicago called Hegwisch. So what do we know about that area, Ben?
This is as far south as you go and still be in the city of Chicago. It's what we used to call a white ethnic working class neighborhood. And that means that white people live there and they work for a living. Pop sociology, as opposed to white people who don't work for a living.
What are they called?
The elite. wine and cheese liberals. Chicago is a very simplistic town. Anyway, so this is an area of the city that's easy to overlook because it's so far south. It's so far off the beaten trail. By the way, just as an aside, years ago, Mayor Daley was proposing to essentially eradicate this entire community. Why anybody down there votes for Mayor Daley? Okay, on another subject that I love talking about, I don't know, since he proposed to totally annihilate the community to build a third airport.
Lake Calumet Airport.
Yes, sir. That was about 1991. Lucky for Hegwisch, lucky for the citizens of Chicago, lucky for the entire planet, that project, it was ended by the state, but they wouldn't fund it. So anyway, so here they've somehow survived. And like many neighborhoods in Chicago, it's stagnating. This particular area is along the Calumet River. It's across the Calumet River from the old waste management landfill, which used to be very smelly and noisy, but has been out of business for several years now. So it's actually sort of a nice area down there. I recommend all visitors, I mean all listeners, to take a drive or ride your bike down there. I prefer the scenic route. You can get there really easy by taking the highways. You end up on the Bishop Ford, get off at about, 130th Street. But I prefer going down Highway 41, which is the extension of South Lakeshore Drive, and just winding your way to Torrance Avenue and then taking Torrance there. Anyway, it's like a piece of the past, the rural past. In this area around the river, there are no paved roads. It's just dirt roads that sort of bump and wind along.
How did you come by this story?
I got a call from the wonderful environmentalists down on the southeast side, and there are a group of committed environmentalists who fought the city on many projects, including the proposed airport. They're always trying to protect the waterways down there and the lakes, and there's some beautiful lakes down there. So Daley, supposedly the green mayor, gives lip service to caring about the environment, but as these folks on the southeast side can tell you, it's a ceaseless battle to protect their natural environment. So they call me up. They said, "You're Mr. Tiff. You got to hear what's going on down here." And I said, "Whoa." And I went out there.
You talk about the city taking property under eminent domain in TIF districts. And the way that works is when a district is created and the city wants to economically develop it, if it deems that certain parts of the land are ripe for development and privately owned, then the city could make an offer to the owner. And if the offer refuses, then the city could take the owner to court and seize it under eminent domain. Do you have any evidence that, or have you seen examples of where those offers are simply unfair as people might expect them to be?
Well, fairness is in the eye of the beholder. The city insists that every offer it makes, it's fair.
I mean, from an owner's perspective.
Well, the most obvious example is the bike store fight on Lawrence and Milwaukee, which I've written about many times in the past.
We talked about.
Yeah, but it's pretty much a lament of property owners who are involved in any eminent domain case. I mean, our friends out in Bensonville who had their property seized, not for a TIF, but for the O'Hare expansion plan, they wrangled with the city.
But isn't it a little different? They simply did not want to move.
Well, no, some
Well, I'm just talking about the fact of
many of them
getting fair offers.
Many of them did not want to move. But see, here's the deal, Dave. Once you decide that it's inevitable that you can't fight City Hall, then it becomes a negotiation. As with most negotiations, the city comes in low or lower than what the homeowner wants. And then the homeowner counters, and the dispute is either mediated by a judge in court or is settled between lawyers. The real question you have to ask is, has there ever been a property owner who felt the city gave him or her a fair deal? And I'll put that question out to our multitude of listeners. If you can find anybody who felt it was a fair offer, please weigh in. But it's a negotiation. I think the primary point for the larger public is not whether the homeowner or the property owner is getting a good price. The primary point is whether it's in our best interest as a citizenry to spend our property tax dollars buying property, buying out the homeowner or the property owner. And that's a question that never gets answered. In this case, I can't see any compelling reason to put this project at the head of the line, ahead of the CTA, which is raising fares, ahead of the schools, which are cutting teachers, ahead of the city, which is postponing environmental blue bag pickups. I don't see the justification for this particular project. To me, it looks like an inside deal.
And you describe that inside deal pretty clearly. You talk about the connections of the investors of the so-called clouded marina, the lack of connection of the guy who may be victimized in this deal. Given all those connections and the apparent ease with which you could draw a line from these investors to what looks like a city pouring money into this obscure corner of the city to benefit those investors, the journalist in me wants to ask that question of the alderman, lay it out for him and say, Alderman Pope of the 10th Ward, look at this picture. Does something look fishy to you? Did it occur to you to ask
him
that?
Yeah, I asked him that. It's funny. I asked everybody involved, and they all said, no, there's absolutely nothing fishy about this.
No pun intended.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence of sorts, or it's an irrelevant coincidence where, oh yeah, the guy who's getting the benefit is clouded and has given money, and the guy who's not getting the benefit is not clouded and hasn't given money. So it's just a coincidence. See, this is another problem with these TIF deals, and that is there's a pretense that the city has no specific plan in mind when it launches one of these things. You go to almost any CDC, Community Development Commission meeting when a TIF is introduced, and the city's official stance, you know, virtually every single one of those cases is there's no developer in the back room. There's no specific plan that we have in mind. It's just this general idea we're floating and we're going to seek requests for proposals. Well, in this particular case, that's kind of ludicrous. They're going to seek requests for proposals to redevelop this area as marina. They're going to take one man's marina, but they're going to let the other guy have a marina. Who else but the current owner would have a leg up in this deal? You have one guy who already has a foot on the ground. It's sort of a ludicrous explanation that the city offers, and the truly brilliant thing is that they really managed to offer it with a straight face, as did every single city person that I talked to, including the alderman and some spokesman whose name I cannot at the moment remember.
Well, they've probably had to give that answer to you multiple times, so they have lots of practice.
Yes, yes, they're so practiced. Well, they're also practiced at the CDC meetings. This whole thing is such a farce, Dave. It's just like you have to sort of laugh at it. You know, the idea that in the name of economic development and promoting business, you're going to drive a thriving business out of business. I think that's lunacy.
Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been talking about the rest of the story with Ben Jarofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.